feet to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Is that your desire to be a sanctuary for the Lord? Then, if that's your desire, then that's what He wants. He wants me and you to be the sanctuary for Him to live in. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Enjoyed the testimony there from the brother. We appreciate it. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Romans 4. Just remember that the Lord willing, Wade, we're preaching for us Wednesday. Then remember the fellowship meeting is 3:30. Brother Lee Garland's is coming Saturday. And if you need a ride, make sure you let us know. We'll be leaving from Petmark.
If you want
to leave from my house, be at Wade's at 10:30 if you want to leave from there and go with us. But Petmark will be at 11 o'clock there in Gainesville. Then we can cut across and go over because we've got to go up 20. But just remember that and just pray. Brother Howard Carroll, I'm pretty sure, is the one that's supposed to be speaking. So, you know, if you desire to go along with us, let us know, and we'll try to make a way for you. Romans 4.
If you're going to be in the play, we're going to practice Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. So be here.
All right. Now, the ones that's in the play, make sure this afternoon that you go in, because some now have been leaving and not participating in practice, so we need to get it all together. And that'll be this afternoon after the service now, so immediately go down and begin your practice. And then Tuesday night here at the church at 7 o'clock, and it'll be practicing for the parts in the play. So remember that. Now, if you're going to participate, make sure you practice, know your lines, and get everything ready to where it'll flow.
Make sure that you're going on Thursday night.
Right. Now, those that will be going Thursday night to set up for the props and the things, what we're going to do, we were planning on staying with some of the people, you know, but we come to find out they're away down. So it would be 70 miles up, 70 miles back, etc. And so we're not going to do that. We're going to get some motel rooms there, if possible, right there off the exit to where we're going in. And if you're going up Thursday now, let us know you're going on Thursday to where we can get rooms and everything. And we'll try to fix everything up. Maybe we can get, you know, cut down on the amount of rooms for Thursday. We'll get them and put like four brothers together, four sisters over another one. We'll divide it up just for one night. You can sleep with somebody for one night, or snore in somebody's ear, you know. I mean, that's what they make cotton for, to put it in your ears to where, you know, you can put up with the other person, you know. But just remember that. Romans 4, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your grace unto us. Thank you for the things that you've given us, Lord, and we've heard, like the testimony our brother, of your grace, Lord, drawing him out and bringing him away from all of that to you. We thank you, Father. We pray now that you would just come and speak to our hearts this afternoon from thy word. We love you, and we desire, Lord, to fellowship with you around the opening of thy word. So use these lips or whatever that you would make out of it to where you could speak to the hearts of the people. Bless those that are not here, and may when they hear the tapes, they will also receive from you. Have your way now and guide us. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and guide us in your grace and love in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. Now what? It's a faith that it might be by grace. Because grace reigns through righteousness and faith. See, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Galatians 3:16, the one seed, not all the seed of Abraham, not all the children, but to one seed, which is Christ. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, he's not the father of everybody in the world, but he's the father of the faith seed. All right? Now, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him all whom he believed, even God. Let me read that over again. Sometimes I miss words. But as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, but against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and Sarah yet the dead and years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, I'm still on positive attitude, because that's what I'm preaching on until God gives me something else, because that's just the way it is, you know. And the prophet said, if you get a point, hold it up till the people get it, then move on to something else. So, you know, I believe that if we'll have a positive attitude, if you'll come with a positive attitude, I believe it'll help. And the prophet said the way to do that is come and pray. Pray for the one that's to bring the message. Pray for things, you know. Pray to get yourself out of the way. Get a positive attitude. And it'll make a whole lot of difference in your day, let alone in your time of the service and work and fellowship with the Lord. It'll make a lot of difference. All right. Now, what did we find out this morning? That even a positive attitude will bring you to patience. A positive attitude will bring you to patience because, you know, tribulation worketh patience, but God allows those things to come upon us to try our faith and to work upon our patience. So it's a great thing to think about that God would, we always say, well, boy, isn't it something that God thought enough of Noah, of Job to put his name in the book, you know, and to let him go through all of the things that he went through to bring him to that position. Well, that's what he's doing to the children of God. He's bringing us all through the same way to bring us to a position that we can be the children of Almighty God, to not have to be petted and pampered and, you know, little things, you know, hurt our feelings and we get upset and we do this and we do that, you know, and all. And just remember, if you get upset, no matter if somebody told you the truth, right, now I'm letting you think. Now, if they told you the truth, or if they lied about you, you know. Now, either way, now, if they told the truth or if they lied, what right does that give us to be able to raise up, you know? I mean, it's just getting where today you can't even do nothing. We were coming up to the Bible study yesterday, and a carload of kids just pulled right out in front of us. Well, I was close to him, you know, not enough to hurt or hit or anything. Cause, you know, immediately when I seen him pull out, I just tapped a little on the brakes, and he just run right out in the road. Well, evidently one of the boys must have told him that he pulled out in front of me. Well, you know, instead of just driving on, he sticks his hand up to the thing in the top and gives us one of those finger signs, you know. Well, I didn't say, well, now, Lord, I'll tell you what, just curse that person, you know, just curse him and just run him off the road and, you know, or me go out. No, I said, Lord, forgive him. Forgive him, you know. I mean, he had no right to do that because I didn't even get close enough to be serious about anything. But, you know, still the point, it's my problem. It's not what somebody else does. That's why he wants to work upon our patience, to get us to where that we can have patience with one another. You know, and when somebody does something, just don't look at them in the wrong thing. Say, well, Lord, forgive them. You know, they didn't know what they're doing. Forgive them. See? And move on, you know. and let everything be taken care of, see, and just let it all be done in love. All right. Now, but now, as I was saying this morning now, we all love the times that we're living on the mountaintop. Right? I mean, you're really on the mountaintop. You know, you're up and you're glory and you're happy. Everything's going good. All the finances is good. The boss is good to you. Everything is going, you know. And I always wanted to work for Terrence, see how he was. I hadn't been there yet. But, you know, all of the things. I went up there one day and I said, what's my job? But they don't never give me one. But see, on the mountaintop, everything's good. But, you know, lilies are not formed on a mountaintop. A lot of things grows on the mountaintop. But lilies are formed in the valley. Down in the muck and the mar of the valley is where the lilies are formed from, and we're supposed to be lilies of the valley, see, and that's where we need to be, is just remember that. That when we're down, when things start going wrong to me, I start looking for something good to happen. Now, I'm honest, I do. When things start going real bad, I start looking for something good. Because there's always going to be something good come out of all of the bad. You know. You'll be a whole lot better off, see. Things start going wrong, it's like, well, okay. But something's fixing to come forth real good. And then watch the little things as it starts unfolding. See, don't look at it and say, that ain't worth nothing. I'd want something big. Yeah. But see, look at the little things and watch it just unfold into something great that you'll come out of it to be a whole lot better person. All right. Abraham waited upon God after he had been given the promise. After the promise had been given, like we were talking about, Joseph, after the promise was given for what him to be, and yet he winds up in jail, he winds up in another country, he winds up look like in horrible shape. But God is working the whole thing out. See? To where that Joseph saved the world because of the dreams and the interpretations and the 7 years of famine, the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And see, he actually wound up to be a savior out of that, and God's working it all out to a time that he could put him where he told him he'd put him. And I don't imagine it was too happy a lot of times with Joseph when he was in jail and all kind of accused wrongly and all. But no, still he had that positive attitude. And see, that's what we need to have. See, Abraham had a positive attitude. All right. See, he believed what God said to him was right. Right. Now, it's background in the morning, see, but we're tired only now. All right. What about me and you, see? Let's say Abraham, he had that very positive about it. We talk about getting the bird eyes and the diapers, you know, the things, the pins and the thing together for the coming child. All right? But he had that attitude about him that was very positive to what was taking place. He believed God. And we didn't read all the way on down there in Romans, but it goes on down to where it said, that he believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed him. And see, that thing was there that he had faith to be to the place that he would stand upon what he believed. Can we do that? Can we actually just stand upon when everything is gone? Turn back there in Romans to where we're at. We'll go down to the 18th verse, and I want to just pick up a little bit. But I want you to look at it. Because what we're going to be talking about today is something we'll get to in a minute, and we'll give you the title. But look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope? Now, that don't mean against hope like what he's saying in plain language is, there was no hope. It was all totally without hope. It was totally without any conceivable way for it to be come to pass that what Abraham said. But outside of all that, he had hope. And we know the Bible goes on later to say that he had a hope which is an anchor for the soul. But see, watch what he's saying now. Who against hope believed in hope. He still had a positive attitude, all right? Now, what happens? What did his hope do? That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, against all outside things, that there's no way Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children when Sarah was 18 years old. There was something wrong. She didn't have any children. Then God tells him he's going to have some children. All right? Sarah gets involved, grabs up Hagar, and tries to produce something. All it's got was an Ishmaelite. The trouble going on today in the world is those Ishmaelites fighting with the Israelis. See? You know. All right? But see, showing that it can't come like that. And God finally, because God right out didn't tell Abraham who he's going to have the child by. He just told him he's going to have a child. Well, see, Sarah figured it out. Well, hey, I can't have children. Because there was no hope whatsoever in her. They lived together for quite a while and no children. But then they wound up, she was 75 and, or 90, Abraham was 100. Well, all hopes of any way for a child to be produced was totally out of the way some 25 years at least before. Now, we know Abraham had come along in Ishmael, and he was on up, you know, and brought forth. But in Sarah, there never was a time that she could bring any children. So that was the great thing when the prophet brought it out, that Abraham and Sarah were turned back to a young man and a young woman. But see, she was not only turned back to a young woman. It wouldn't have done no good to turn her back to a young woman. Turned her back right where she started. That she had no children to start with. So had to change her whole body. But see, all of that was facing Abraham. And Hagar, you know, looked like a pretty good deal. I mean, you know, it was rightful and all right back then to have polygamies and things. So he thought, well, that maybe it'll work. But it didn't work out. All it brought was a wild man. See, then God comes and says, all right, now it's not true, Ishmael. Said, but the one that you have going to have is not true, Ishmael, the promise. But said, your wife is going to have the child, Sarah, not Hagar. Right. He said, that's not going to work through Hagar to bring anything. Not going to work if you take any other woman that's in the land. You're going to have it through Sarah. That added that much more because there had been together, say she was 18 and he was 28. See, when they married maybe or something like that. And all of those years up until she was 90 and he was 100, and all those years, they couldn't have any children anyway. And Abraham probably looked at them, well, Lord, you know, Hagar was fruitful. You know, maybe some other woman over here is a good one, you know. But now, God said, no, I'm telling you now it's going to come through. It's coming through Sarah. He said, okay. This is going to be even more of a miracle, you know. I mean, that's what Abraham was looking at. It's going to be even more than what I thought it's going to be. All right, but what he does then, against all of that that he looked at, now I want to get to that in a minute real hard, but everything he looked at was against him. His age was against him. Sarah's age was against her. Sarah, the fact, never could have any children. All of that was standing in his way. But yet he looked past all of that and said, God said it. God promised it. I believe what God says. I don't know how he's going to do it. It's not for me to figure it out. See, that's our problem. We try to figure out how God wants to work things. Now, don't worry about it. Just believe him. Just believe him, accept what's said. So he said, now against hope, he believed in hope. What's now? Verse 19, and being not weak in faith. Now watch it. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. You know, no way to have children whatsoever. Dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She never was fertile to bring forth. She was dead when she was 18 years old as far as fertility. You know. But now he said he didn't consider that. Now, watch now. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now watch. As being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now you get to the next verse then. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Right. Then he goes on to tell us, not for his sake alone, but for you and I.
Amen. Right.
But now watch. The Bible in, let me see if I can find it. I wrote it down in a minute ago. Look at 2 Corinthians, because this is what a Christian is supposed to do. And you'll see what Abraham was doing. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Now this is for a Christian. I'll read 17 while you're getting there. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what we were talking about this morning, the troubles and the things going through. Look, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, we don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. Now, watch that. For the things which are seen are temporal, are temporary, see. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, see, a Christian doesn't look at what he sees. If you do, you're going to fail every day. You can never look at what, don't look at what you see. Because if I look back at you and what I see a bunch of failures. The best can be done. I see failures, you know, problems, troubles, people that have problems just like I have. You're looking at me. You see a failure. So we can't look at the things that are seen. You know what? A Christian has to look at what's not seen. Now, if we look at things that are not seen, which are, you know, to bring forth, then where would you come back to? All right. Now let's go back and read our point to verse 17. Now get the point of what I'm saying. You don't look at things that are seen. A Christian does not look at what they see. But we look at the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are just temporary, are temporal. So Abraham now, which is our father, was not looking at the circumstances. The deadness of Sarah's womb, the deadness of his own body. All of those things. He was not looking at that. He was looking at what God said. Now, so then what does he go back now and read verse 17? And you'll see what we're talking about. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, watch now, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, look at the things that be not as though they were. Right. Now, calleth those things. That's what I'm talking about. That's the title. Number 6 of the possession, positive attitude. He calleth those things that be not as though they were. Now, you get what I'm saying? You get what the scripture's saying? Look into things that be not. They're not there. There was no way in the world that Sarah and Abraham could have that child. You're looking at things that be not. It was impossible for them to have it. That's what it's saying, see. He looked at the things that be not. No way for it to come into being. No way for it to ever happen. But he said he looked at that as though they were. Now you see why Brother Branham said he got to making the diapers and the things. All right. Now Abraham could walk around, you know, and he could say to everybody, and he'd say, me and my wife's going to have a child. Where's the child? You've been saying that for quite a while. Where's the child? Well, you just can't see it. You can't see what I'm seeing. Yeah, but, you know, you've lied to us. 25 years, you've been living a lie. You know what makes it so odd? You know that the name Abram means high father. Huh? Now all he's got is an Ishmaelite to count to Abram. Huh? That's why it says there, see, you know, talking about Ishmael and Isaac, you know, when he told him to take Isaac up and offer, he said, take thy son, thine only son. Because Abram was the father of Ishmael. Abraham was the father of Isaac. His name had to be changed before the son could come into being. See, all right, so the scripture is exactly right. Thy son, thine only son. But see, he said now, looked at those things that be not. Something that be not, you know, or not, is not, you know. How are you going to show it to anybody? We're not talking about the king, you know, that they made the guy made everybody believe they'd made this garment for this king. You've heard the story, you know. Well, he didn't. He didn't make it out of anything. It's invisible. Well, the day the king come out, he even convinced the king, you can wear this garment. This is a beautiful garment. Look what I made for you. And the king comes out one day parading around with his new invisible garment that he thought had him covered. Well, everybody's, oh, look at the beautiful garment. Look at the king. Look how beautiful his garment is. And this little boy said, hey, daddy, what? Said, the king's naked. You know, I mean, he had to finally, somebody had to wake him up. You know, see, that's not what I'm talking about. Because that king couldn't show you nothing. But as far as Abraham was concerned, now I said Abraham, not Abram, because he'd come on over to where he's picking up. By the time he got to be Abraham, he'd say, Sarah, ain't he beautiful? She'd say, hey, Abraham, you done gone wacky. You're off your rocker. Because, see, she didn't believe it. It wasn't based upon her believing. It had been, when it had been in bad shape, all of it is based upon his believing. But see, he looked at, he already had the child. The things that be not, as though they were. Right? And he said, here, look at it. I said a moment ago, the word Abram means high father. See? How many children you got? And back before Ishmael come along, he didn't even have anything. What's your name? Abram. Oh, high father. You got any children? No. No, go ahead. And Ishmael come along, which was just a thorn in the flesh. But when God changed his name to Abraham, you know what that means? Father of nations. Oh. Abram, how you doing? Oh, the Lord met me since I've seen you last. Changed my name. He did. Yeah. Because see, your name's supposed to be what you are. What's your name now? My name's Abraham. Amen. Oh, father of nations. How many kids you got now? Well, I got one by Hagar. That'd be singular. That's the best he could do was a singular out of Hagar. And wouldn't have been nations, because his name is father of nations. Look at the ridicule he had to go through all of the time. But he staggered not. See, he counted those things that be not. No way that it could bring. As though they were. I told you about years ago, you know, everybody was saying, I was talking about this morning, you know, going out of here in 73, going out of here in 77, and no later than that, you know, and I had a dream, and I went around telling everybody that had had a dream about seeing a little girl about somewhere around 8, 9, something like that, with long black hair, and we had two boys, you know, but, and then I saw Brother Moat with a little boy at the same time, you know, about the same size. Well, everybody was telling me, said, well, looks like you're going to miss the rapture. Said, because if that child had to be 7 or 8 years old, you know, you're going to miss it. Because you're supposed to done be gone way before then. And if the child was born now, see, like 73 or something, I don't remember exactly when I had the dream. But I tell the dream is a dream, you know. And see, at 77 was only be 3 or 4 years old. And I told him, I said, look like 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe 7, you know, something. And everybody told me, said, well, you're going to miss the rapture, I guess, Brother Dale, according to your dream. I said, I'm just telling a dream according to the dream. Well, there's a little girl back there now that she's a little bit bigger than that. And Brother Moat's got a boy called Forrest. Well, see, if I'd have been spiritual enough to catch what God was doing, I should have looked right back at him and said, this thus saith the Lord, you're wrong. That's what I ought to say. I stood right here in 1973 and 74 and preached that we could pass the year 2026, I believe it is. We still got the tapes where I preached it. I became ridiculed about it because of what I was saying. I said, that's according to what Brother Branham said. But see, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see what I was looking at. I was looking at the revelation that Brother Branham said plainly, don't say 77 is the rapture, you know, or the coming of the Lord. Don't say that now. He said he can come any time. But I should have stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, we ain't going out of here. But I didn't have enough positive attitude about my own positive statement. I made the statement, and I believed it. But see, today, you can say, well, hindsight's easy. Oh, you're over here on this side. Well, there's one thing about it. What's everybody else was on the other side saying we're going to leave out of here? You don't hear nobody say nothing like that. You don't hear all these preachers around the country that most of you know all of their names real good that was teaching that we had to leave out of here at a certain time. And they were telling you that was thus saith the Lord. I've heard sermons, thus saith the Lord, the prophet said, we're going out of here. In 73 and a half or 77. I said, he didn't say it that way. He said, don't you say it, I said that. That's what he said. But he told us what 1977 was, and I believe that, and I preached it to you. Because it was the Jubilee time. All right? But now listen. See, we look not at the things that are seen. What if I'd have been looking at what was seen? Where would I have ever preached a message about it if I'd have been looking at what was seen? But now I was looking at what God spoke to me. I was looking to the unseen to see that God had spoken to me and told me what he was preaching through the prophet. All I was doing was quoting what the prophet had to say. Nobody until this day has ever come to me and said, you're wrong on that. Other than somebody, one brother said one time, oh, you just like some of these others. I said, brother, don't put me in a class with them others. You know, at least talk to me about what I'm believing. Don't say, well, he believes like so-and-so just because I quote something. I mean, don't put me in the camp with all these people around the world just because I say something that they, one of their catchphrases. No, ask me what I believe and I'll tell you. But what I'm trying to get at, see, Abraham was looking at and counting those things as not, don't even exist into being, as though they were already in being, in position. Well, you know what happened one day? A child came. Amen. Then within the hands of Abraham, he said, Sarah, this is what I was trying to get you to see. But I told you, didn't I? She said, yes, honey. We said, I couldn't see it. She couldn't. It was based upon what he saw. That's why he's the father of faith. But see, you go out and you take this message. You take this message as a possession in your hands, not as a book, not as a, you know, but you know what I'm talking about. You go out and you talk to somebody about the Lord, of what the Lord has shown you from the Bible. If you don't have within you what you're talking about, you're not looking at things that be not. You're trying to look at things that be. Come on. So what does the people of the message say? They don't never say, I believe. They say, Brother Brown, say it. And then they preach two souls, seven thunder virtues, polygamy, parousias, Son of Man, River Jordan, all kind of doctrines. They preach that and say that's what the prophet said. But why don't they say what they say? Why don't they put it in the Bible? No, I got a quote. I got a quote. It's what Brother Branham said. Well, amen. We believe that. But like I said this morning, one word off of Brother Branham is not thus saith the Lord. God don't have to back it up. If it's 99.99% true, God don't have to back it up. Because you're looking at things that are seen. Now, forgive me for somebody thinking wrong, but I'm holding up here what the prophet said because I took it off the computer, you know, of what he said here on the message, three witnesses or show us the Father. Well, Brother Dale, tell us what the prophet said. Amen. That's why I give you the things where you'll see what the prophet said. But I know for a certainty one thing. That piece of paper will not quicken to you. That piece of paper will not be made alive. It's the revelation in your heart. So you've got to look. Watch now. You've got to look at the things that are not seen. To find a revelation, you've got to look at what's not seen. But count that as already in existence. That's why I told you years ago, see, the Lord quickened that to me. And I used to preach and try to preach, going to heaven, boy, one of these days. The Lord revealed to me that heaven was coming here. He said, you'll just be turned right around another dimension, be right here. I stopped trying to preach anything about going to heaven. I started preaching about heaven here. I saw what other people could not see. Come on. They see heaven up there. I saw heaven here. And I start talking about heaven here, in heavenly places. And everybody else is looking for heaven up yonder. One of these days, we're going to heaven. Now, heaven's coming here. All right, as it does, then you got to look at what's not seen. You got to look at something that can't be seen. If you can see anything, all right, now listen. The prophet said, I've got a shirt on. Right? I got a shirt on. He said, I don't have to have faith for that. Come on. He said, I got a shirt on. I can feel it. You can see it. But he said, now for instance. He said, I left my pocket knife, my old Barlow pocket knife. He said, I think I left it over to the motel or hotel or where they were staying. He said, I left it over there. He said, but if I believe it, he said, God will put that knife in my pocket. Now this is the words he said after then. He said, that stumbled you. That's what he said. Go get the quote. He said, that stumbled you. Why? He was looking at things that could not be seen. And counting them as the things that were seen. All right. Now, because, see, Hebrews 11:1 says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Knife laying over on the counter. See, I'm over there. Where was that? The evidence of things not seen. The substance of the knife was laying over there. And it's the evidence of things that was not seen, because you could look all over the platform or in his pockets. You could, you know, he could pull out his pockets. There was nothing there. Because it's not seen. But he said, if I believe it. Now, I don't understand how God would do it, but he said, if I believe it, God will put that knife in my pocket. Now, they wasn't two knives, you know. It wouldn't wind up being one knife over on the thing where he left at the motel and one in his pocket. That'd be the devil coming along doing something with you. And we wouldn't believe in the devil maybe as much as our brother heard him testifying. I'm sure he knows a lot about things that he could tell you just from a little testimony about how they can do things through witch doctors and things. See? That they can actually move objects, they can actually tell you things, do all kind of things in those realms. And it not be the true realm of God. Right? But you see, faith is the substance of whatever that knife was made from. A Barlow knife at that time would have been metal and probably wooden handles. The old Barlows were made that way. And the substance of that is the wood, the metal, and the thing. But the real substance is the Word of God. Because what brought the metal? What brought the thing? I don't know whether I got it in here, but I'd look at one on this where Brother Random is quoting the scripture I just gave you, and he's saying, see, what is the world made of? Maybe we'll find it in the middle in the notes. I don't know. What was the world made of in the beginning? God was looking at things that be not. No molecules, no atoms, nothing whatsoever in existence. But he looked at those things that be not, as though they were, he said, let there be. It materialized. What was the world made of? Faith. What was Adam and Eve made of? Faith. Revelation. The Word of God made manifest. You see what I'm talking about? See? Let's just read some of what he said now. Took two off of wisdom. First is faith, and there's two different. You know, right on down through the reading. And then the next two is off believing God. But listen now. This is wisdom versus faith, paragraph 22, 620401. Listen, Paul writing the commentary on Abraham's life. You know, there's nothing said about Abraham running down into Gerea, and nothing in the commentary, you know. It's just Abraham believed God. Paul, that great apostle, writing a commentary on Abraham, 17th verse. Now, let me explain something right there that I don't think I've ever attempted to explain. Paul knew. Now, listen. Paul knew that Abraham went to Gerea. The record showed it. Paul knew that Abraham had lied and give his wife away. Because he read the scrolls. Paul knew by the written word of God that Abraham done all them things. Now, if he was looking at what was seen, pages, you know, written. Now he was looking at those things that be not as though they were, not those things that are be not. You know, or whatever, how you'd reverse it, you know. I don't have enough education to do that, but you get what I'm talking about. He wasn't looking at the reverse side effects of it. He was looking at the things that be not as though they were. Not the things Abraham done, but the faith of Abraham. He was looking at the faith of Abraham, bringing it down to revelation to him, and he said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He mentioned nothing about his life. Did I've always thought about that, but I never stopped to express on it, because you get so much in your mind, it's hard to do. But listen, Abraham was 75 years old, lived with his wife since both of them were young. It was his high sister, no children. He was sterile and she was barren, but God met him and said, I have, past tense now, remember the what we preached a few weeks ago, before the foundation of the world, of course. So what was he looking at? Those things that be not down here. Well, he was looking back at those things before the world. Listen. But God met him and said, I have, past tense, before the foundation of the world, of course, have made you a father of many nations. Not of many children, but many nations. Just think of it. Before whom he believed, God, even God who quickeneth the dead. Now he's reading this 17th verse that we just do it. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. I go right on reading, paragraph 23. Don't reason at all. Calleth those things which were not as though they were. So he said, don't reason. Who? Against hope. My. Not even a hope. What if he'd have reasoned? Not even a hope. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall my seed be. No matter what thing else is said, God said so, and that settles it. Oh, if Eve would have only stayed with that. But she stopped to reason, get some wisdom. Abraham don't want any wisdom. He just wanted the word. God said so, and that finishes it. You know, I preached on it many times and went and brought up all the diapers and the pens and everything, got ready for the baby, and Sarah made the booties, and year after year, Pice, bless God, we're going to have it anyhow. That's right. Why was she? The doctor said, well, she can't have it. You can't have it. Huh? Don't tell me. We're going to have it anyhow. That's it. Believe in God. Watch what he says on down now. And believe in God in 1952, Hebrews 2:24. Now Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. He did provide the sacrifice. Now in Romans, the 4th chapter, let's begin at the 17th verse. And as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be as though be not as though they were. And what? Now you see, then we as Christians don't look, feel, see, taste, smell, hear when you're speaking to God. We just believe God. And it was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. Now listen. Now look, well, I just love this now. God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, going right on down, which is another paragraph out of the same message, believe in God, paragraph 134. Do you know what? How did God make the earth? This earth that we're sitting on this morning, people don't want to believe in faith. How did God make the earth? He spoke it. Amen. You see it? He spake it. And the world came into existence. And this world this morning is the spoken word of God. He believed his own word. Now watch. Here it is. Watch it. And if God, and if you're an offspring of him, and God is in you, he'll believe his own word. Amen. Now if he's in you, he'll believe his own word. Though it can't be seen, felt, taste, or anything, he'll believe it. See what I mean? For God in you will believe his own word. Is that right? Then you don't look at things you see. You look at things that God said. You look at what God said. You don't look at what you see by the natural eye. You look at the things that though they be not. You look at them and there's no way to produce it. You look at that as though it were. Anybody that's ever been healed, stands upon something that you cannot produce. You can't show it to nobody. Medical science is contrary to you. But you stand right there and tell them, say, I don't care what you say. God will come on the scene and take care of it, just like the little girl was talking about. Everybody here at the church knows the basic, maybe some of the younger ones. But my wife and I had a problem. I was A positive, she was a negative, and that, there's an Rh factor, of course, it's in everybody, but this was because it didn't match between us. Two negatives is fine. But a positive and a negative in that situation won't match. And they told us that don't ever have but one child. I've got a sister who's got two kids. One of them, they changed his blood because it's the only thing they found out how to do. And it literally cut the little baby before the navel cord come off. Cut it all over and let the blood bleed out as they were putting blood in. The other one, they had to give it treatments. See? Both of them has been not healthy at all. They told us that don't have over one. So they can be born of any form, deformed of anything. Well, we had one. That's why the children are spaced. Almost 5 years between the two boys. 4 years between them. We had another child. Both of the children, both of the kids, both boys, had the yellow gender look effect to them. You know, in the eyeballs, some of you women know what I'm talking about, just got the yellow effect. And the face turns yellow and the different things happen. And it's there because it's a mixture. Now they got a shot they can give to you that helps those things. But they told us don't have any more. Well, I had the dreams about it and things. My wife miscarried, and a lot of people probably made fun and said, well, I guess that was your little girl. Well, that's their fun. I'm not saying nobody didn't to me. I'm just saying if they did, that's their business. But see, then one day, Peggy would come up expecting again. That's why there's about 9 years between her and the boys. Boy, she was rotten. Still is. Yeah, 12, 13 between her and Wade, because, man, Richard had a problem when he married into the family, because they married his little sister. Yeah. But the point is this. The doctor said, well, in all the years of time, let's run another blood test on Sam, because your blood, it's impossible for your blood type to change. That's medically impossible. But said some things could change a little bit. We need to know exactly where we're at. So if something goes wrong, we know we can do whatever we can do. So I go into how the test run. Well, the lady did. I'm one of those stingy blood givers, you know. I can pump my hand twice and fill up a pint bottle once they fill it, once they find it. But they have trouble finding it because I don't want to give it. You know, my blood runs around. My veins disappear. So they kept on, and they finally got it hooked, and the nurse actually, in my arm, turned the needle clean around this way trying to find it, you know, and had to throw that in the way and get another needle and wind up. And so they came in. My wife walks in the office, and the new doctor had come in to with these group of doctors, you know, and so she saw the new doctor, and everybody knows what happened, but he said, well, look at her, ain't that something? Said, you're a negative, and your husband is negative. She said, sir, my husband's blood is positive. He said, well, the record shows right here they took the blood. She said, sir, go back to your records, and you'll find out. He went back in the records and looked, and it was A positive. See, I've given gallons of blood at General Motors under an A positive. Is on record with General Motors. He said, well, something went wrong. So she told him what happened, that I had told her how they done. So, well, they just mixed up the bottle. You know, bottles got mixed up. Go back and have the test run again. So, plopped it in there, got it second time, went over to the office. He said, well, something's wrong because your husband is A negative. Now, see, God done that to where that little girl would come into view that had been promised me before then. Without any troubles. And when she was born, she had no yellow effect to her whatsoever. You know, no jaunda effect, as you call it. Yellow looking jaundice is what they call it in some of it, but it's not called a blue baby. But see, what I'm telling you was, when God gives you a promise, stand on the promise. Doesn't matter what everybody says, doctor says, whoever says. Stand on what God says and just say, thank you, Lord. I don't care whether they believe me or not. I've told that to people around the country, and they say, well, it's medically impossible for blood to change. I said, amen. But nothing is impossible with God. Because I wasn't looking at the things that were seen. I was looking at the promise which was unseen. to see what God told me, showed me that we'd have the child. No more than Abraham could see anything by the natural eye. Then you and I, we don't need to walk by the natural eye. You walk by the natural eye, that's why they make it so tantalizing. The world does and everything that makes it so much until even the denominations has got it. As I said this morning, they've got churches now that you go to them and join up with them, and they'll just pay your bills for you. They'll get you out of debt. Because they think that's what God told them, and it works. Of course, like I said this morning, how many people went back after the debts was paid? You know. Because, see, it's based on whether or not you help the other guy pay his to get him out of debt. So, but it don't work out. But listen, what could Abraham base any hope on? What could he base any hope on whatsoever? Give me one thing that Abraham could base any hope on in the natural realm. When God spoke to him, he was 75, I think, somewhere right in there. It already went from 18 to, Sarah had been 65 and no children. God speaks to him at 75. He waits 25 years. He's 100 years old. Every day things are getting worse. Now, where was anything? Was there any medical pill? You know. I mean, is there any great big medical thing that could be done for them? Well, now, in this modern day, what we could do was, we could extract from Abraham, extract a germ, and we could take it, and we could extract from Sarah. No, you can't from Sarah because you don't have anything. You know what I'm saying? It's done too old. Eggs done quit. You might be able to hook up something in a modern science today from Abraham, but how are you going to hook up anything from Sarah when she didn't have anything to begin with? I'm trying to show you the impossibility that Abraham was looking at. All right? But see, then, what could Abraham base it on? There wasn't but one thing that Abraham could base it on. God said it. God said you'll have the child. God said you'll have it by Sarah. Look at what God has sent to you and I. God has sent His Word in its fullness to you and I. The bride of Jesus Christ in the end time has not just the words to Abraham, not the words to Moses, not even the words to the disciples. The entire Word of God stands behind us today to believe. And why can't we believe it? Like I said, though, you get sick, what's the first thing you say? I'll call the doctor. Nothing wrong with calling the doctor. We're not worried about doctors. I even get into trouble trying to explain that to people that are so religiously faith. I've had people to argue with me. No, you don't go. Brother Branham said, your first obligation is go to the doctor. Now, Brother Branham didn't say, go to the doctor and don't believe God. That's what they emphasize. He made the statement, your first obligation as a human is to do something about your troubles. Is that what he's saying? Do something about it. Go to the doctor. Come in one day with the kids to my mother, and she said, where are you going? I said, we're going to church. Yeah. Well, the kids are sick. Then we're going to the doctor. First, we're going to church and pray. Secondly, we're going to the doctor. Because we believe in it. Yeah. But if the doctor tells you something contrary to God, then you quit believing, because that's your see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Your reason, memory, conscience working. He tells you something contrary to God's Word, stop believing Him. One of the kids one time, and I know you can say, well, this could just happen. But Wade, I think it was, running a high temperature, and Brother Tatum and them, if they were here, they'd witness it, that, you know, he was so sick until we stayed at home with him. I might have went on to church at Gainesville. Anyhow, Brother Tatum and them even stayed with Peggy, and I think I did too, because the temperature had run up. We packed him in ice with bottles, quart bottles of ice, and put it around him because it had run away up, and it had run away up. And we were praying, and it looked like it'd go down, and it'd come back up. I said, well, we got to call the doctor because, you know, we believe in it. Call the doctor. The doctor said, well, I'll be there at the office, Sam. Meet me, and I'll come over there. You know, good doctor. And we walked in there, but before I got there, I said, God, we're praying and we're believing you by faith. So all I'm asking you to do is one thing. Take away this temperature before the doctor touches him. Well, we walked into the office. The doctor was behind the counter. We walked into the front of the office, and about that time, Wade had one of the greatest vomiting spells you've ever seen and covered the office with. You know what? The doctor standing behind there, you know what he said? He said, I'll look at him, but said, he's all right now. You can take him on back home. Because that's what I'd ask. Before the doctor touched him, let him be all right. How many times have you had things like that to happen that you know that was what it was? But yet, going to the doctor. See, that's what hinders people who try to have supernatural faith. And I'm not against that. We used to have people here that wouldn't even go to the doctor. I told them, I said, you do what you want to. I'm with you with your faith. I saw a man laying in the hospital one day, gangrene running up his leg. And the doctor told him, medically impossible. Anybody that's ever had gangrene said, you cut the leg off. You could look down through his foot and see the tendons and the toes. It was so rotten off because he was a diabetic and it just rotten. You could see the tendons. You could see the bones. I was there. He looked at that doctor. He said, I'll walk out of here on this foot. And that doctor got a hold of doctors and got a hold of family and begged them to let him out to get his leg taken. Said, ain't nobody ever lived with gangrene. He walked out of the hospital, went home with his foot. Because he said God told him. All right? See, God told him. That way you're looking not at the things that you see. You're looking at the promise. The promise of God. See, God, when he speaks it, remember the message? When God speaks it, as far as God is concerned, it's over with. And sometimes we may have to wait. But as far as God is concerned, I'm trying to bring it down to get to the last. Let's just go on a couple of scriptures and watch these that look at it. Let's just take this. Go to Hebrews 11. Let's just take a couple of scriptures and then we'll quit. Now, we know about the warriors of faith and read all of the different ones, but I'm just wanting to use something to where you can see the scripture literally uses the word. Listen. Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. They made fun of him when he said it's raining. And moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now what was he doing? Being warned of things of God not seen as yet. They'd never seen it rain. The earth sprang up. The water came up from the earth and watered it. They'd never seen that, and they made fun of him, made light of what he was saying. All right? But now, go over one more. Go to 1 John 4. First John 4:20. And watch. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Now you got your two little dots. That means you stop and you think on that. And that's true. See, now watch him. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? For me to stand here today and tell you about God, I've got to tell you about something you can't see, and there's no way I can prove it physically. See, I know, hey, you say, well, that tree, that's wood, that proof. I know that. I know that. But still, you can argue about that. You know, well, this polywog come from the frog and rolled over and made this, that, and the other. You know, you can argue. But what is he saying? How can you say that I love God that you have not seen? You can't do it. You've got to look past what you see and count it as it, you know, those things that are not, as be though they were, so you're coming back the other way. Then you've got to say, I see God. You say, I've seen God. Well, Brother Dale, what did he look like? Well, Brother Branham said he looked like. That's wonderful. We all quote that. That's great. We saw Hoffman's Head of Christ, the prophet said, the most accurate picture of Jesus Christ that's ever been made. Amen. But Brother Branham said, if you're seeing the Word, you're seeing Jesus. Now, I know it wasn't a fake, but Satan can produce images. I know it wasn't a fake in that period, you know, to Brother Branham. I know that because of what he said about it. But Satan can produce images to your mind that you see things. But that's just like the man was back there. Which one was it during the ages? Martin? That Satan come to him and said, everything dressed to a T, just like the Lord Jesus. Even had a crown on his head. And St. Martin looked at him, he said, Satan, you get out of here. In other words, Satan said, how do you know who I was? He said, you got a crown on your head. And said, the crown, saints will crown Jesus one day, so you're not him. It's recorded that one of them might have been Martin, that he turned over one night in the bed, one brother did, turned over and the devil was over on that other side looking at him. He said, oh, it's just you. Turned over and went back to sleep. I don't tell it as a joke, but it's like the man was saying, you're going down the road, and the fellow was hollering and said, hey, I'm the devil. I'm the devil. And the man started hollering, amen, glory, hallelujah. He said, but I told you I was the devil. He said, I didn't think you was that far away from me. But church, we're afraid of what can't be produced out there. The devil can't produce. He can produce images to the mind. Hallucinations and the things. But don't worry about it. Some of these brothers got drunk and things. You've seen pink elephants. You'd run into a gun to get away from the pink elephant. But don't worry about it. Just walk through the pink elephant. You find out he's not there. It's just a delusion of your mind. You're looking at things what you think you see. You don't see that. But see, God expects you and I to look out. There's no way to scientifically prove that you and I are going to make a change. Every denomination in the world teaches against the change of the body. They teach you're going to get your new body, except some little fling-off somewhere. Let's do it. But every denomination in the world teaches you're going to get you a new body. We've got to look past that. All the way past that until we see Jesus Christ and see that if he come up with nail scars in his hand, he come up with the same body that went down. And when we see it that way, we'll see that this old body right here is not going to drop back into the dust unless I die. Because if it's when I'm here and I'm changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, then I just right on into glory. And like I told them last night at the Bible study, I believe we're going to have to speak our own body. Now, I'm just going to say it because I don't argue with nobody about it, but the one of the brothers, you know, that's supposed to fly the airplane for Brother Branham said that Brother Branham's going to come in that room, you know, in that tent and speak our bodies. No, don't agree with that. Don't agree with that. But I believe for a change to come over this body, you're going to have to say it. Because if you're healed, you got to say it. If you're saved, you got to say it. If you're going to get a change, you got to say it. So why not start saying it? Well, Brother Dale, you're making a mockery. You remember the man, you know, saying, by his stripes, I'm healed. You're making a mockery out of it. But what about the day they walked out with a healed position? Come on, brother. What about that? Calleth those things that be not. There's not a rapture in the world for anybody that can't call for it. Well, that's what tears your heart out then, to know that the people of this message don't even know anything about that. Oh, they want to speak the word. They want to do this, but they don't know anything about what the word says. In other words, standing right here and saying, I'm already glorified.
Amen.
Counting those things that be not, because you're looking at me and you can pinch me and I'll holler. As though they were. I'm already glorified.
Amen.
By a revelation from God.
Amen.
Because that's what God said.
Amen.
When are we going to get down to what it's saying? What we got, brother? Let's stand.
Number one in the spiral book.
Number one in the spiral book. Everybody have a need.
Fear not, little child. From the cross to the throne. From death into life. He went for his own. All power in earth. All power above is given to him. Cover the flock of his love.
Why?
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
What does it say now? Fear not, little flock. He goeth ahead. Your shepherd selected. The path you must tread. Let's just believe. What our brother's asking for.
He drank all the bitter.
Brother Al's mother has just recently lost the sight of one eye through a degenerative thing or whatever they call it, and having a lot of trouble trying to believe. So let's believe that all things are possible to them that believe. All right? Father, we send this prayer cloth believing that by your stripes our sister is healed. And that you'll condemn that sickness upon the eye and make it turn back for you. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Just go and receive, brother. Anybody else?
Little flock, whatever your lot, he entered all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsake. He never is gone, so count on his presence in darkness and dawn. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here.
Why?
Only believe. called things Father, you know the need that our sister has asked. And we ask you to not let this take place. Lord, we just commit it into your hands that things would not be a hindrance to our little buddy and his father, Lord. We believe you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Just believe. Father, just bless Jesus. Anybody else? Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Let's sing that number three there, Brother Dick. They come from the east and west. Because, see, I believe in a positive attitude. Believe in the Word of God. Amen.
They come
from the east and west. They come from the lands of far.
What far?
To feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face. A glory with light divine, blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Since Jesus has set me free,
what are you?
I'm happy as heart can be. No longer I've the burden of death. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night,
right?
But darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has said, I look on the great white throne. Before it the ransom stands. No longer our tears, nor sorrow is known, nor death in that goodly land. My Savior has gone before, preparing the way for me. Soon we'll meet to part no more. Your time and return.
Take the next verse.
The gates of that holy place stand open by night and day. Oh, look to the Lord who giveth more grace, whose love has prepared the way. A home in those ransomed bands, his hand has reserved for all. For the wedding feast prepared, obeying the gracious call.
Now sing the last verse.
Oh, Jesus is coming soon. Our trials will then be o'er. What if our Lord this moment should come for those who are free from sin? Then would it bring you joy or sorrow and deep despair when our Lord in glory comes? We'll
take come, you'll come.
Since Jesus has set me free, I'm happy
as hot can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory. Why? Amen. Do you believe that? He set us free. So I hope you enjoyed the message. Pray one for another. Remember Wade preaching Wednesday. Also remember the fellowship meeting now. If you want to meet with us and go with us, be at Wade's at 10:30 or be at Petmark at 11. We'll be ready to go, and we want to know how many is going and things, so how many vans we take and whatever to do. Is anything, anybody got anything to say before we go? I always generally miss something. You know, so just remember these things and just pray one for another that the Lord would bless and guide each one. We appreciate our brother coming and fellowshipping with us today, and hope that he'll, you know, has been blessed and things, and we were blessed in his testimony, and hope and pray that he'll come back and be with us sometime and maybe preach for us or something. Maybe back through this way, let us know, because we're always here. And it's, you know, like he said, the Lord must have sent him this way. So I hope he got something out of it, and all to fellowship together. Remember now, we're staying this afternoon. People will be here to practice the play. And then Tuesday night, we're going to try to have a practice. So remember those things. And like I said to you young people that are going to be in it, and to the young people that are going to be in it, parents, tell them to come, or tell them that they're not going to be in it. And if they, you know, if they can't come in fellowship and do their part, then they need to let us know where we get somebody else to do the part. Because it's going to be bad to wind up and get over there and then people not show up. So it's going to be a problem. If anybody needs that Thursday night a place to stay that are going over Thursday, most are going over Friday. But whatever, you know, if you do, then let us know. We'll try to arrange motel rooms. But you got to let us know today what's going over on the Thursday, because that will be a problem if we don't know, because we'll try to get a motel to where we can all go. All right? No, everybody understand? Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for today. Thank you for thy word. We pray that you would just help us to believe it and to walk therein, Lord, and to see you and to want to be led by your love. Just, Lord, let us look not at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are not seen. Look at as though it, the things that be not, which are the eternal things, as though they were, and quit looking at the natural things that we do see. The things that are around us, get our eyes away from that and look to you and thy word. Bless the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. Let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.